if you can tell us just a little bit about how you guys got started and your background.
Yeah, well, we kind of came together 2008 around, actually sort of started, a lot of things came together at the same time, but Bill and I, who, you know, Bill plays the chiptune live from our Nintendo Control Center, and he and I have co-produced our first two EPs. He and I just started making demos. I knew him from high school, and then after college, I just knew that I was in music, yeah, and I knew that he wanted to do some music, so we started getting together, and the very first demo we ever made was Heads Up, Hearts Down, and I had said to him, I just had this idea that I thought I was completely original, that what if the intro to the song sounded like it was the chorus of the song, but coming out of Nintendo? And so we played some Mario 3 and used this built-in Logic synths to kind of mock it up. And yeah, I mean, that's funny. That's still the intro to Heads Up, Hearts Down is still that mocked up
right,
thing that we just made by ear, not even knowing the first thing about chiptune. And then after that, I was so pleased with the sound. I had a moment sort of like, you know, Back to the Future, this new sound I've been looking for.
Yeah.
I'll listen to this. That I kind of knew that this was sort of the sound I'd been looking to put a band together for a while. I actually already had the name, I Fight Dragons, and the sound kind of came with it. And from there, I did a little research and found out about the chiptune world and how, you know, you could actually make chiptune on real old sound cartridges. And from there, I was sort of off and running and called a bunch of my friends, said, "You want to be in my Nintendo Rock Band?"
Yeah. Which no one denies ever.
No, it's true, actually. Well, ironically, the only person who said no at the time was Packy. He was playing drums for me, and he played drums on the first EP, but he, at the time, was really itching to go out and do his solo stuff. But by the time we hit about 6 months into the band, and we were getting ready to go on tour, a lot of our original members sort of weren't really that gung-ho about, you know, starting to hit the road.
Yeah. Yeah.
The life of a poor musician.
Right.
But Packy, to his credit, came back actually now on lead guitar.
Oh, wow.
So he is... It's funny, even though we've had a lot of switches in that first 6 months, of the five of us, four of us are original members, and, you know, all five of us have been in the band for 3.5 years out of the 4 years.
Yeah.
Tell us what it was like to be featured on Nintendo 3DS and Nintendo Video.
It was awesome, man. Nintendo, those folks are just so cool, and they're the best. They love, they get it, you know, which is really cool. You know, we got to make a video. They made a bunch of videos with, like, sort of big name artists to try and draw attention to Nintendo Video.
Right.
But they also kind of, we got to go along for the ride because they really liked us, and we were sort of the ones that had helped make that connection in the first place. And so they insisted that we also make, you know, a video.
Oh, wow.
A big 3D video. And, so it was a blast, man. That was probably the most like fun traditional music industry experience we ever had was actually through Nintendo, not even through our label.
Right. Because
they flew us out to LA and we got to work with this like amazing top-notch director who just really got us and got everything. Josh Forbes, who's just a kick-ass music video director. And we got to spend the day, you know, on this old soundstage with all these like old spaceship sets and just having the time of our lives.
That's so interesting, though, because people, you know, especially like from a developer standpoint, mm-hmm, people always think that Nintendo is so closed, and they're, I don't know if you would get the impression that they're not nice, you know,
right,
from having to work with them or whatever. But
it's a little,
you know,
like Apple, right?
Right.
They're super
right,
closed.
But the Protoman were the exact same way. You know, like, they were really worried that, oh, crap, Nintendo is going to nail us to a wall, and then they put us in Nintendo Power. You know, so... Maybe that's kind of
no,
where it
well,
is.
Well, and I also will say, like, from a hardware angle and from even, you know, a software angle, Nintendo is obviously, you know, has a walled garden mindset and a very protective approach. But from a, you know, the marketing folks and that sort of side of things, the folks that we've worked with, they've been nothing but just amazing and really excited to try new projects and do new things. And it's been
right,
really great to work with them. I mean, they had us out to play their Pokemon Black version 2 and White version 2 launch party out in just in August, right before, or in September, I forget. It was right before we left for the tour, at the New York Comic Con. They threw a party,
oh, wow,
to launch Pokemon Black version 2 and White version 2, and they had us out to play, and it was just like another amazing experience, and they were really just cool folks, and we had a great time, and they had a great time.
It's almost like Nintendo is your label.
Yeah, they, it's funny, but when you think about the things that they've done for us, they did a lot more, other than like making our record, they did just about everything that a traditional label would do. You know, they've flown us out for appearances and things and made a music video with us. And, right. like, when it comes to the promotional angle, they've done a lot more traditional. They did, I should say, they did a lot more traditional and continue to do a lot more traditional music industry promotion and stuff than our label ever did.
Right. What did you play growing up? I mean, obviously, you know, video games means a little bit to you, so.
Yeah, it's true. I have a funny story. I'm a little young for it, but I started on an Atari 2600 because my dad got one and gave it to me when I was, like, I wasn't speaking yet. He just thought that I would get it. So he kind of put it in front of me and left me alone, and he came back and I had chewed through the rubber controller. I don't know if you know the old Atari games, because they've got a rubber top to them. And I chewed through it, so he took it away from me. I mean, I couldn't speak yet. Of course, I didn't quite understand it. But then, like, I think about a year later, I got to play it at my uncle's house. He had an Atari 2600, and I was like, this is the greatest thing ever. And my dad was like, you know what? We have one of those. You tried to eat it. And I was, you know, still a little kid, but I played that, I want to say, like, from 3 to 5, and at which point I kind of got each new system as they came out, but I couldn't have all of them, you know, so I was Nintendo, you know, so NES, SNES, and I would say, like, my favorite gaming period is SNES RPGs.
Yes, sir.
Like Earthbound, Final Fantasy 2 and 3, or 4 and 6, however you want to know if they renumbered them. Chrono Trigger, Lufia, you name it.
You should not have said Chrono Trigger.
Yeah, we got a guy on our podcast that's a little bit obsessed with Chrono Trigger, but...
It's great. That's the thing. Those type of games were the type that could inspire that sort of mythology and devotion. I mean, Earthbound is the same way. I actually just played through Earthbound again at the beginning of this tour, just on my emulator. It's just such a wonderful story, and with wonderful gameplay, challenging but not impossible, you know, simple yet with a certain level of complexity to the you know, how you're going to attack each problem and each enemy. And it just, to me, that era was really the perfect synergy of technology, but also not enough technology to hide behind, you know? And then, you know, after that, honestly, I switched to a PlayStation instead of an N64 specifically to buy Final Fantasy VII. You know, the only time I ever called, like, faked sick from school was the day Final Fantasy VII came out. I full-on faked it. And I stayed home and played it all day. Those are my favorites. And, you know, Final Fantasy VII, I think, still competes. You know, it was the early days of the PlayStation. It's not like the technology was outstripping the story or anything. That's a wonderful game, too. And the N64 era has some great stuff. But to be perfectly honest, that a lot of my sort of gaming influence comes from that era. Because in the current day, I spend a lot more time doing music.
Right.
And I do play as well, but when I play, it tends to be more like StarCraft 2 or, you know, PC games. Not as much. Or I like to play MOBA stuff too, but I suck. Man, my reactions are just horrible, but I still end up playing a lot of...
Everyone sucks at those games, except your opponent. Your opponent's always amazing.
They're always destroying you, and they're like five people in there to pub stomp, and you're like, what does this hero do?
And they're probably 13.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's the reflexes, you know?
Yeah, they're probably 13.
So, I mean, that's me when I do...
Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's a very long version of what you'll probably
like Chris Roberts' Star Citizen coming out. When is it coming out?
That is still in beta stages. I think it's coming out. Got a few months left on it.
Nice. Yeah.
It's a Kickstarter funded game. He raised about $4 million.
I saw this Kickstarter. Yes. Okay. Yeah. I thought the name sounded familiar. I was pointed to that Kickstarter. It's so cool. I love the amount of Kickstarted games.
Yes.
And especially. What's the company with the two-headed logo that made that is making a new point-and-click adventure game that was a Kickstarter?
Sir, You're Being Hunted. Is that what you're talking about?
No, it was just an amazing Kickstarter video. I think it's the guy that made that was like big in Monkey Island. I'm maybe misplacing. Day of the Tentacle.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes,
and their logo is a two-headed thing. I'm totally blanking on the name of the company. but it's another really cool Kickstarter video game project. Those are some of the most exciting projects to me, is the Kickstarter video games.
That's what people want.
I feel like people respond to that, because there's such a tangible... You're using the computer to get a computer game. It's funny. Kickstarter is good for music, but it can backfire.
Well, we talk all the time about how, you know, they would stop making Call of Duty if you would stop buying it.
Right.
And if you would buy games like this, people would make more of them. Right. So...
You know, it's funny. The same thing happens in music, too. It's like, you can try and blame it on the labels and whatever all you want, but, like, it wouldn't stay on the radio if people didn't buy it.
It's true.
It's like the blunt thing. Like, that was one of the biggest things I learned from my time sort of in the heart of the beast, you know, in the label system and stuff like that. It's like, no, there's no, like, evil hand, like, laughing maniacally. They're literally just trying to chase what people are buying.
Yeah,
and so if people are buying, you know, the latest whatever that's on the pop charts, it's why it's on the pop charts. Like, that's that. You know, there's no one to blame but ourselves.
Right.
If you don't like it,
so buy iFi Dragons.
That's yes, what well, telling you. This is all. I'm just shilling.
iFiDragons.com.
Buy our music.
Buy the music.
No, I mean, it's funny. Cause we had one of the funniest experiences at radio of all, which was we had a number one single on, you know, one of the top alternative stations. Through nothing to do with our label. That was just our manager was connected to the program director, so he gave us a listen, loved it, tested us out, the numbers were off the charts, put us into rotation, and we climbed up to number one, and it was, like, heartbreaking because the label was still just like, we don't really get this, we don't really see this at radio. Like, I know it's number one, but that's just Denver, that's just one, we're not even gonna, like, they literally didn't even call the station, and it was like, oh, you really don't get this, huh? Like, there's really nothing else we could do at this point. So
where do you go from here, then?
I mean, back on our own is kind of cool. We just got off the label about a month before this tour. Mm-hmm. And there's, honestly, where we go from here is one of its own, like, big artistic questions, I think. Uh-huh. And there's a lot of things, a lot of irons. One of the most fun things about not being on a label is I can go back to having a lot of irons in the fire.
Right.
Like, working on a lot of really cool projects, some of which I can't tell you due to non-disclosure agreements.
Right.
But I will stipulate that we are looking at entering the video game space. We are just developing some other really cool ideas and things that we're not allowed to do in the label system because they're very, very stringent about, you know, the only content you release is albums or EPs, and it's owned by them, you know, and it's like, is what it is, and it's, so being sort of out from under the thumb of that gives us a lot of possibility. It's funny that it happened right before we go on tour, because then, right now we're busy touring, but like, especially the beginning of next year, we're gonna, like, I mean, expect to see a lot more activity, even just from our, like, YouTube channel, and stuff like that, like, programming and making our own new music, and just other fun stuff that we wanted to make for a long time.
Cool. All right,
well,
man.
I look forward to hearing more of your music. I know our listeners do too.
Nice.
They get a taste of Geek Shelling here at the Earth every week. So,
nice.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, for your
check
video
it out.
Game of the
there's
week.
There's also free music on our website if I want to go ahead and be a shill writer. You don't even have to buy some of it. If you go to iFiDragons.com,
that's what I think is the greatest thing. Is that boom? There's kaboom right there.
Yeah. And that's it's not an official stance because we're. It's just up there. We're not. I don't know
How did that get there?
I don't know what could be up there. Just some free tracks from iFi Dragons.
Anything could be there.